Okay, I want to talk a little bit about letting go and letting God. And if you notice, it's part three. And since we have some people here who weren't here for part one and part two, and since we have some people here who were here for part one and part two, and it's like they weren't here for part one and part two, I'll be happy to give you a quick synopsis, okay? Part one talked about letting go and letting God. And when we do that, we have a tendency to keep our agendas. Okay. And the second part had to do with the need to identify ourselves as spirit, as soul. And if we do that, okay, then we really are letting go and letting God, but we don't do that for various reasons that were talked about in part two, chief amongst which were something that seems to run through the whole human race of feeling unworthy, that we're unworthy of being spirit, that we're unworthy to be with God, and also how could that be? You know, how could we be God? How could we be spirit? We're here, we're in the body, we're, quote, humans. We're mere humans. Okay? And part two dealt with that. Okay? And part three is going to deal a lot with some other problems and the solutions to letting go and letting God. Okay? So what I'd like to do is start by just having you get quiet again. And what I'd like you to do is have an issue come up for you that you've been struggling with. And I'd like you to give it to God. Just say, Lord God, or the Christ, or the Force, or the Schwartz, please take this. And then tell yourself, hey, it's okay, however you call yourself, to let it go now. Okay, and what kinds of things come up for you that get in the way or that you notice were kind of floating around until you were able to let it go? What comes around? Anyone's free to say... Okay.
Once I let it go, the illusion that I was in control was obvious.
Oh, okay.
I thought I was in control. It's just an illusion. But once I let it go, it's like...
Okay. All right. So need to be in control, etc. Okay. What else?
For me, some fear came up.
Okay. Any specific fear or... Okay. All right. What else?
For me, not being present, being in the future, trying to be in the future and not being present.
Okay. All right. What else?
I got, what if God's will and my will are not the same? What if the things that I want aren't for... the high school.
And you call yourself a Christian?
Not really.
Okay, do you understand my comment?
I call myself a Christian. That my will and God's will should be the same, is that?
As far as I know, that's not at all what the Christ demonstrated. I don't think he should on anybody. Well, but that your will and God's will are one and the same. Okay. All right. Okay. So you got some movement into Christhood to go for, don't you? Okay. All right. Who else would like to share?
I will.
Go ahead.
This is sort of like, for me, like a knee-jerk reaction to hold on to what I've been holding on to.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like a habit.
Okay. Habitual response. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Okay. And that's the happy hunting grounds of the false consciousness. You know, the basic selves and the lower self. Habit. Keep you in karma. Okay? All right. What else?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. So the idea of letting go, the fear of dying.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. And that's either a real deep letting go, or that's a very, not very deep letting go, but with a tremendous charge to that. Because when you start to touch into the spirit and into the soul, we do experience it as a dying, as a death. And the brain and the mind concocts it as physical death. Okay? So, like, you're going to wind up in, you know, in the grave, in the cemetery, all right? But in reality, we know that, first of all, there's no such thing as death. That's part of the illusion of the planet. And the other thing is that the lower self experiences a withdrawal of attachments. If we don't have attachments to this planet and we're free, the lower self, because of its tendency to be bound here and be in slavery, experiences it as death and as dying. Okay? But what's dying is the ego or the false self. Okay? That's what's dying. But we have a tendency to think, oh my gosh, that's us. Okay, so there's that confusion, and that's part of a natural falsehood, as it were, of the lower self. Okay, if I let go of my attachment, okay, that's a little bit of death. If I let go of my control, that's a little bit of death. I'm going to die. I'm going to be inundated. I'm going to be done in. I'm going to be overshadowed. Okay, because as long as you're running your agenda, the spirit waits there. It's present, but it can't be in the place of your ego and your agenda. And so you're displacing God. You're putting it at the peripheral. The periphery of your being. If you let go of that, then God, who's always at the center, you start to make contact with that. Okay, but you have an experience of it as dying and as death. Okay, and as long as we run habitual responses, guess what we're doing? I'm going to need to, if there's a lot of extraneous sounds, if you need to mute the phones, please. Okay. If we could just take a moment, okay, during the day and ask ourselves, hey, who's in there and what's in there? Okay? And a lot of us know when we sit in meditation, we get to hear our thoughts, we get to hear our feelings, and sometimes we're shocked and we're surprised at the extent of them and the power of them and that they're constant. Okay? But that's the stuff that separates us from the spirit we are. Okay? And the trick is to go above it. Okay? And there's a technique and there's a way to do that. Okay. What other kinds of things came up for you in terms of letting go?
Okay. Annoyance, because really it's so easy to do.
Okay.
If you just do it.
Mm-hmm.
So the annoyance, it's like it's so ridiculous. But you can feel yourself doing it and being annoyed at the same time.
So you were annoyed that what seemed real really isn't real.
Yeah.
or
that we still hold on.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
I felt.
Do we need to do this?
As soon as I tried, as soon as I started doing the process, I felt this familiar feeling of tremendous tiredness. It was almost like I just wanted to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't even think exactly what the problem was. I was just overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt
okay.
really tired.
Okay. What do you think the weariness is?
Well, I mean, it takes a lot of energy to engage into all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the negativity, the problems.
Okay.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
It sort of came to me really quickly how much I invested.
Mm-hmm.
Energy-wise, I guess.
Okay. All right, it reminds me of a line from The Unknown Poet when he's talking about being in the world of karma. And he describes it as bone-crushing weariness. Bone-crushing weariness. Okay? The karma, when the karma is upon us, that's what it is. Okay? And we tend to be world-weary. And that's kind of the good news, because then that kind of gives us an opportunity to at least petition the Lord, ask the light, for some way around this or through this, or to at least move the weariness off and back. And how do I get past and beyond it as a soul, as the spirit I am? Okay, well, good. Okay, what else? Good. Well, hold on. We have someone here.
What I saw first was I thought like, oh my gosh, like that's a pattern that's really been impinging upon my life. It almost seemed like,
mm-hmm.
like, and I thought, oh my gosh, that's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's all I have to do is let this go.
Well,
you know,
it was
just kind of amazing. And
all
then,
right, so you were kind of surprised at how simple it is.
Yeah, it seemed like, whoa, it's that
okay.
easy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but that's
and
why.
And then I was holding on a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, but it is that easy. Well, at least it's that simple. Okay, and that's why I end a lot of the satsangs by saying, yeah, it really is that simple. I never said it was easy. I said it was simple, okay? And some people even make the comment of, well, that's simplistic. Okay, well, I don't know if it's simplistic, but it's simple, okay? But that's the thing that the mind abhors, that it's simple. It loves to complicate stuff. And also, the nature of the mind is to create problems so that it can solve them. Okay, so it hallucinates these things that don't really exist, and then it solves them. You know, but that's the general craziness of the planet. This mass hallucination goes on, and then we're all busy solving something that doesn't really exist. Okay. Well, sad but true. Okay, who else? Okay, there was a comment out in phone land.
Oh, yes, the distinction between the surrender of the deep surrender and then the threat of surrender of lost life. I appreciate that clarity because I think I'm operating with both.
Okay, well, it really doesn't much matter if one feels, you know, as deep as the other, then that's the way it feels for you. What's important is that you really do surrender and really do let go.
Yeah, no, it doesn't feel deep. The other one feels like it's pressing against me and it's horribly uncomfortable. So.
Okay. Well, what you're describing, something that presses against you is your karma. Okay, which also, I mean, the fact that it's pressing against you also means that some part of you must be indulging it. In other words, you must be feeding it and buying into it. Okay, because you're the one holding it close to yourself. Okay, but the moment you stop feeding it, okay, that gives God or grace an opportunity to get in there. And at least start to move it off you. And then by the choices you make, you're going to decide the direction of that. You know, I've seen many people let go and let God. I've seen God take it off them and bingo. I've seen them just pull it right back. You know, and this kind of thing can go, you know, God can come in and just clear this up immediately, and then you can go and recreate the same thing. You have free will, and you have choice. We have choice, and that's what's important. Okay, good. Kiva? Cool.
Goodbye.
Oh, I thought you did. Oh, okay.
No,
okay. Person next to goodbye.
When we did the process, what I realized was just a bunch of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And first, the fear didn't have a name, but then it was a list of fears of mm-hmm. things that haven't happened yet or things that I'm afraid that will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like when you said illusion, hallucination,
mm-hmm.
it really named it because I have felt up until now it's sometimes like a motivation for me
mm-hmm.
to prepare myself so something doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying?
Oh, sure.
And when I let it go, I just realized just by getting present that everything's fine right now
mm-hmm.
instead of what will happen if I right. end up X, Y, Z.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. And, you know, that kind of thinking is so predominant in this world that I know people who've had major surgery where it was possible that they even would pass away on the operating table just out of that headset. Well, they'll have this operation just so they shouldn't get this disease. Did they have the disease? No. What was the likelihood of their getting it? Who knows? But, you know, we'll have to do this operation so at least you won't have it. Okay, but that kind of thinking doesn't come out of a vacuum. Okay, that's the kind of thing the mind always does. Runs ahead. Okay, reminds me of a conversation had with someone a while ago, and they we're creating something in terms of financially, and I just, you know, and they ask a question about it. I said, yeah, you'll probably come to a point where you'll have just a lot of, you know, a lot of money, may not even know what to do with all of it, okay? And then they started to get, you know, as the months went by, maybe years went by, they started to get impatient. Okay, and with the impatience came a lot of self-creation, okay, or creations away from the spirit, okay, a lot of karmic creations, okay. So another thing that happens is if you start identifying with time, and we know that if you're in time, you're in karma, okay, and that the hope, if you're racing ahead into an imagined future, what's going to happen in the future, right away, that's a signal. Uh-oh, I'm going down the timeline. I'm in karma. Then you get what goes with karma. All the illusion, all the crap, all the hallucination, all the garbage, all the debris, and all the pain. You know, so that can be a really good... ask yourself what time frame I'm in. You know, and if you're not in the present and if you're not with God, then you've chosen away from spirit. Okay, well, good. You see, also, the whole thing is, do you know how difficult it is for the consciousness to live without drama, without all that stuff going on, and just to be present and just to have it real simple, just breathe in and breathe out?
It seems like that's what I want. It's like a contradiction.
Uh-huh. Because
it seems like that's what I want.
Yeah, but I think everybody probably wants it, but it's always in terms of its opposite. You know, yeah, I want it because I'm so overwhelmed and I'm so busy and I'm so scattered, etc., etc. So wouldn't it be nice to be quiet?
Yeah.
Okay? So you're always in that duality. But what about if that's all there was? Just being at peace inside yourself with spirit and just staying there. See what happens. See what the false self kicks up. It'll start some crisis. It'll start something. Even if it's, you know, nothing but, hey, can't believe he got a haircut. I told him not to get a haircut. I don't want those big ears flapping in the wind. He may take off and take flight. See, right away I've drawn myself out of peace. Okay? Then, hey, I can't believe it may snow tonight. I really should be in Hawaii, but I'm not in Hawaii. This is terrible. I come here. There's not even any goat stew. Okay, that's the kind of stuff that always kicks up. Okay? And I can't believe the Mets, you know, they got this pitcher. I can't even say his name. He's some Japanese guy. Well, why didn't they get, you know, Steve Schwartz? He's a much better pitcher. You know? Doesn't matter. You always, always, always. Okay? But the thing is also that you'll find that if you don't feed it, that stuff is going to die of its own accord. Okay? You know, the focus isn't, well, let's do away with our thinking, let's do away with our emotions. No, that's called dead. Okay? But the focus is on, yeah, that stuff comes up, and you choose away from it. You choose into the spirit and stay centered within yourself. See, that's what's important. Okay? So letting go, letting God means also that despite what this man here says, okay, God most likely knows what's for our highest good. You know? And I don't know what's for my highest good. I might think that I need to have this job. Okay? Instead, what does God do? He makes me be really sick. I'm really sick for 5 months. I can't get out of bed for 3 of them. And the other 2, I need nursing care. And on top of them, the nurses are really ugly. You know, look what God did. Okay? Okay, but guess what? Maybe that's for our highest, well, not maybe, but it is for our highest good. Because if we got the job and then we got sick, we'd lose the job. Okay? So after we got rid of that illness, then we go and we get the job. Okay? Or you may get, you know, you may go through the illness and you may discover, wait a second, I don't want to work for someone. I have more talent. I want to use my initiative. I want to use my creativity, etc., etc. And I've had all this time to reflect. I now know what I want. You know, and I'm not going to be a slave to a paycheck. Okay, I'm going to be my own boss. That comes forward. Okay? Wouldn't have happened if you hadn't had that time out. Okay, so we really need to know that God knows what's for our highest good. Okay, and a lot of times we don't want to hear that. We want it when we want it, and we're also kind of like children in kind of the negative sense. Okay, you know, I don't get what I want. Mommy doesn't love me. I don't get what I want. God doesn't love me. He probably doesn't even know I'm alive. No, he created you, but he doesn't know you're alive. You know, he's giving you every breath you're taking, but he doesn't know you're alive. Okay, so we run all this stuff. Okay? And a lot of it also has to do with trust. Okay? And feeling that, hey, well, how can I trust God, so I better do it myself. Also, we think, and there are some cultural groups and religious groups that don't believe that God participates in the world. Okay, that he's very created it, but he's removed from it. Okay, so there's no way that God's participating in this world and that he's really going to assist me in my creation, and even that I can co-create with God, because how can I co-create with someone who's not there? Okay, so we have all these kinds of illusions going. All right. When we let go and we let God, what kinds of things need to happen? Okay, but one is trust. One is knowing that God knows our highest good, and we're willing to accept God's time frame. Okay, since there isn't any time anyway, okay, it's going to be in perfect time. You know, similarly, we always hear, like when somebody leaves the body, oh, how old were they when they died? 42? Gosh, that's so young. Yeah, God made a mistake. You know? And how old was this guy? I can't believe this kid, he was only 12 years old, and he left the body. Terrible. You know? But guess what? It's all karmically correct. It's exactly what the agreement is with that soul, and it's exactly as was needed. Okay, so that there's nothing that happens that isn't spiritually correct. Okay? And with, okay, and then you get into, well, you know, what kind of a God? I mean, I've seen this with a lot of people, and they've actually thrown out the fact that God exists. There just couldn't possibly be because of what happened in World War II. Okay? Well, God can't exist. This was bad. Okay? Okay? Well, what are you doing practicing the Puritan ethic? You know, if I have a lot of money or good things happened, hey, that's proof that God's on my side. If I don't have a lot of money and things that I think are no good happen, that's proof that God doesn't exist. Okay? So we need to watch what we're running inside of us. Okay? And watch the translations. If we give it to God, let God make the decision. Okay? Let him make the decision. If we do get it, it's going to be in perfect time. If we don't get it, okay, it's for our highest good. Okay, that's why I always say when you ask God for something, you co-create with God, put it in terms of for the highest good. Okay, because if you don't do that, you lost the protection. A lot of times you'll get something and it's not for your highest good. I can ask God for a new car, and if it's not for my highest good, well, guess what? I can be driving that car, and bingo, get into an accident with it, and before you know it, guess what? I owe for the entire value of the car, and my insurance company isn't giving me that entire value. So I'm going to have to dig deep into my pocket or borrow money just to pay back what I owe on the car that I can't drive. You know? Reminds me of actually a true story. Someone I know, his dad invented something that everybody uses, and the guy, he sort of became well known, and he used to like to drive this really cheap sports car. You know, it was a Volkswagen sports car. And for years, everybody said, hey, you should get this guy. Go get yourself a Rolls Royce. He said, leave me alone. Just went, okay. So finally, I don't know how the guy heard of him, but the president of Rolls Royce convinced him to drive a Rolls Royce and gave him a car. Okay, so he goes to the dealer, picks it up, drives it from the dealer. Okay, guess what happened? Caught on fire. Okay. He's at a party about a year, 2 years later. He meets the president of Rolls-Royce. And the guy says to him, "Hey, how'd you like the car?" He said, "The worst piece of that I've ever driven. It caught on fire." He said, "Oh, come on." He said, "No, it did. This is the deal, you know, go call him, right?" He says, "Okay. Obviously a freaky thing. Give you another one, right?" Okay. Guess what happened when he drove the second one out? Stalled out. Couldn't get it started. Needed a tow back to the dealer. Okay. And guess what? He was back to driving his old beaten up Volkswagen sports car. Okay. And this, in a way, is a lot of how we create, okay? We create for what we deem are the Rolls Royces, and we don't trust for the highest good. So we have experiences like that. We have experiences of things not working out, or of things being more trouble than they're worth, or of things being costly, okay? It reminds me of somebody was programming for prosperity, and they went to sort of a well-known person, and they just said, "Well, here's an affirmation." And the affirmation was to have more income for next year. You know, and when the person told me that what they'd done, I said, "Uh-oh, that's big trouble here." Okay, well, guess what happened? Okay, the person did get more income. Okay, but guess what? He also got more expenses, okay? And he wound up at quite a deficit from where he wanted to be, okay? So it wasn't done intelligently, and it wasn't done with the caveat of, hey, for the highest good, okay? See, he didn't even have to know how to phrase it properly or what he was asking for. He needed to really ask for more net income. Okay, instead he just asked for more income. Okay? Or more income and less expenses. Okay? But he didn't even have to know to do that. All he had to do was put it in the light for the highest good. Okay? And that was his protection, but he didn't take it, okay? So when we're letting go and letting God, we need to know that the highest good here is working. It's God's agenda. Let him evaluate the situation. Let him give us what we need, okay? But and our job is to do what? To stay clear. Okay, stay clear of our agendas and our impatience and our going along the timeline, etc., and are doing all these kinds of translations. You know, I've told the story of two cars vying for a parking space. You know, one was an old beaten up Volvo, about 12 years old, and one was a brand new sparkling, the biggest Mercedes. You know, and they're battling back and forth for this parking space, going on and on. And I was just fascinated, you know, until a cop comes along. You know, and he says, "Okay, I'll give you guys 5 minutes, and if you haven't decided who's going to get that space, I'm going to give both of you a ticket," you know? So they're going back and back, you know, I'm looking at the watch, it's down about 2 minutes, 2.5, you know, and that's down to a minute, you know, and then finally, bingo, the Volvo just backs in at such an angle that the Mercedes has no hope of getting the spot, you know? And what does the Mercedes driver scream out? "But I can't believe I lost, and I lost to that piece of, you know, S-H-I-T. I think we have children. Okay, so he was all identified with his car. And boy, wasn't he something, and wasn't he special, because he had this big black Mercedes. Okay, and so we make funny translations. If I get this, or if I have this, I'm better than, or God loves me, etc. If this doesn't happen, I'm not heard. That's a big one. We think that God doesn't have ears. Okay, but if God doesn't have ears, there'd be no ENT guys on this planet. And we wouldn't be walking around with ears. Okay? And Garth wouldn't be getting haircuts like that to show people his. Okay, so God's got ears. Okay, everything is heard. Okay, and everything is a creation. Okay, that's why, I mean, it's kind of used as an allegory, and it's kind of misapplied and misunderstood, but the basic idea is there. You know, when the Jews, when they're praying for their lives, and they don't know if they're going to live or die, etc., for the year, and they have this thing of the everything is recorded, etc., etc., okay? Well, there's truth to that, okay? Everything is recorded, okay? Everything is recorded in the karmic fields and in the book of karma. Every impression is there of our thought, of our feeling, etc. Okay? It's all there. Okay? And we, by our feeding that stuff, okay, we're just laying the track even more for that karma to be there and the separation. Okay? And our job is to stay clear, because guess what? If we choose into karma, we're choosing away from God, we're choosing away from spirit. If we choose away from spirit, then guess what? You're not there when spirit wants to give you something. You know? And by spiritual law, if you go, okay, I'm going to run my own agenda, then guess what happens? You know, God's a nice guy. He knows how powerful you are. He goes, okay, you want to run your own agenda, that's fine. Or if you have a teacher and you don't want to listen to the teacher, that's fine. You get to be your own teacher, which means you'll learn karmically. Okay, this is it. You'll learn karmically. You mean I don't trust you, so I created getting that Rolls Royce or that car, and then I had to dig into my pocket and make up the difference? Yeah. Yeah. Was that an unfortunate thing? No. Should I be crying misery? No. Will I be getting a lot of, oh, isn't that awful what happened from people? Yeah. Will people really, really assist you in feeling lousy about it? Yeah. Will they help you in feeling like a victim? Oh, yeah. Will they help you in feeling powerless and split off from God? Oh, yeah. Okay? So when we let go and let God, what are we doing? But we're really seizing our power, and it's just the opposite. We're the one in control. See? We don't think we're in control if we give up the false self-control, but we are in control because we've chosen to co-create and be with God. That's pretty powerful. That's a pretty powerful choice. Okay, and that's what letting go and letting God does. It gives us the choice. It gives us the opportunity to be with God and to be clear. Okay, and also to know that we're fine without the thing we're asking for. And we're okay. And we're living and we're breathing and we're still with spirit inside ourselves. And that we're fine. And we're not dependent upon that. Okay? It's kind of like being dependent upon working for someone because they're the source of your income. Instead of that, hey, wait a second. I'm the source of my income. I have the skills. I have the abilities. Okay? And I'm the one that's putting that out there, and that's being met. So I'm the one in charge, and spirit is supplying that. And yeah, it's using this employer, but I can't confuse the means through which it comes with the source of it. See? So we need to really, really know that God's the source and that it comes, everything comes from God, and that we need to keep our consciousness there. So that's what letting go and letting God is. It's that opportunity to be free and to let go. You know, and so we can do it with anything. Anything that makes us miserable. Any thought we have, any feeling we have, we can just give it over. Give it to God. Let go. Let God. You take it, God. You work it. Yeah, but I can't believe my mother's still doing it. And she's, yeah, give it over. Because guess what? You're probably not going to control your mother. But what you can do is get clear of your response to her inside yourself, okay? It's really never the problem itself. It's our response to the problem, you know? And then even that, as some of you who take the Everyday Evolution class are discovering, even that's being used by the false self to keep you running around like a chicken without a head. You know, as long as you can be like you're under anesthesia and like, you know, just going round and round and round in your habitual ways of thinking and of acting, then guess what? You don't have to lift, you don't have to grow, you don't have to progress. Okay? But there's a choice when we let go and we let God. There's a choice into, okay, wait a second now. I am going to let go. I am going to trust. I am going to know that I'm spirit. I am going to know that I'm a co-creator with God. And I am going to know that I'm powerful. You know? And yeah, for those of you who tithe, and maybe for those of you who need to learn about tithing, it's a lot like tithing. Okay? Tithing is all about acknowledging that you're spirit and co-creating with God. Okay? But the mind works, well, wait a second, if I have 50 cents, and if I give a nickel and a tithe, I have 45 cents. And, yeah, oh, yes, and I'm being very sane, and I'm being very rational. I'm very prudent, and very smart with my money. Okay, but that's where you run into trouble. Okay, spiritual economics don't work with that, like that. You know, it's like love. You're not going to have more if you hold on to it. You know, you're going to have more. It's going to be replenished if you give it. Okay? That's how that works. And if you don't, you hold on to it, then you're just enforcing lack and separation and less than, instead of acknowledging your power and the fullness of yourself, and that you have spirit inside of you, and spirit supplies to spirit. You know, and then we don't give love, we think we have more. We don't give of the tithe of ourselves. We go to God, and we ask God, let go and let God, and we don't give the tithe of the spirit inside, as it were, or the part of our consciousness that holds on to the things of the world, and we don't let go, that's a tithe too. When I say tithe, I mean it in that way also. Then we're just keeping the separation going and the lack going and our sense of victimhood and powerlessness. Okay? And we need to know that we're powerful. We need to know that we are spirit. We need to know that we're one and the same as the Lord God. That there's one unit, there's one consciousness, okay? And the only difference between God and you up until this point is that God knows he's God, okay? And you're in the process of becoming and knowing that, okay? And God in his mercy and his kindness, he's created a way for you to know that. Okay, but don't play the game that God's up there and you're down here and that you're powerless and you have no say in your life and things just happen and you can't lift, you can't grow, you can't evolve, you can't change, you can't let go. Okay, because what are you doing when you don't let go? Okay, but you're holding on and digging into this planet. in reincarnational patterns. And that's okay, but know that's what you're doing, okay? But guess what? Those attachments are where your miseries are. Everywhere we're attached is where our pain is. That's where we have our pain. So if you're going to want to lift and grow, make sure you lift and grow into God. But if you hang on and you keep your attachments going, then at least have the wherewithal to know, hey, I like my pain, or even if I don't like my pain, I'm sure doing a good job of increasing it and increasing my separation. And know that's what you're doing. But not to play the game that, hey, God doesn't hear you and doesn't want X, Y, and Z and doesn't want your being clear. You're the one in charge. You're the one in total control. God, the teacher, whatever, they can't do things instead of you, and they can't control your life. They're your servant. They have to follow your lead. Your lead. Okay? God doesn't come and hit you over the head and say, you big dummy, you know, why don't you allow grace? What's the matter with you? You know, it doesn't work that way. Okay, he can't override you and doesn't override you. He waits for you to know his presence. And then when you let go and let God, then you see that the grace is there all the time, and that grace and God are there. But you have to let them work and you have to let them operate. Okay, and that's the real secret. It's the trust, it's the knowing, it's the power of God and of grace moving through you in this world. You know, and we're coming up to Christmas, and everybody's, you know, oh, it's such a nice time of the year and family time and get all these presents and all that. And all this outer stuff goes on. Okay? But every day is Christmas. Every day is the birth of the Christ in you. And letting go, letting God gives us the opportunity to align our will with God's will. Okay? And that's our nature. That's who we are. You know, Jesus the Christ wasn't a freak show. He wasn't a one-of-a-kind thing. He wasn't, you know, some kind of mutant, you know, the only one who has this kind of DNA, okay? It's the opposite, okay? He demonstrated the spiritual genetics for everyone, that everyone has the Christ within, that it's within us all, that our will and God's will are one and the same. And so when we let go and we let God, that's our opportunity to be with the Christ in us and to move our consciousness into that place and to help it lift. There's the great opportunity, okay? Okay, and just as a hint, it's a lot easier if you take initiation into the sound current. Yeah, you can be at that place more readily without the effort of the ego. Okay, but you still have to make the decision. Okay? You still have to make the decision. Okay? And we all know that the words of the Christ are true. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's talking about the Christed consciousness. He's talking about sound current, okay? That's the way. He wasn't talking about Catholicism or Christianity, because he didn't come for that. That wasn't his thing. He never founded that stuff, okay? So he's talking about, okay, so this is the way, okay? And you can't do it other than through that process of initiation into the sound current, okay? But, you know, guess what? God, every moment, gives every soul, whether initiated soul or not, the opportunity to let go and let God and start developing the Christhood within them. Okay, because that's God's gift to us, to be with him. Okay, you take initiation, it's to be with him while you're in the body. Okay, and sooner or later, however many embodiments it takes, that's the way of the soul, and that's what happens through a progression, okay? But letting go and letting God, we start to get this foretaste. Ah, we can be with God. We can let go of our thinking, we can let go of our feeling, we can let go of our separation, we can let go of the hurt. So try that. That's a pretty good step for those of you who haven't taken on initiation. And for those of you who have, well, you need to perfect it some more. Or allow that process some more. Okay? If your agenda's worked, guess what? There'd be no need for you to be wearing a body. Okay, but your agenda's resulted in karma. So why not go with God's agenda? Okay, because his agenda is that you're free and that you come to know him, yeah, through this gift of initiation. But any soul can know him, at least by reflection. If you can't know him directly, you can know him through reflection. Okay, and that's a real start. Okay, and we'll stop with that. Okay,